Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, everyone. I'm Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we'll be exploring ways to engage youth and young adults from Gen Alpha to Gen Z. Today, I am pleased to welcome Talasha Kime Yoder, and she will be discussing building faith at home. Talasha Kime Yoder is a pastor at College Mennonite Church in Goshen, Indiana, where she lives with her husband, Daniel, and their two children. She is passionate about exploring faith at home and in other intergenerational settings. Talasha is also the theater director at Bethany Christian Schools and the writer behind This Is the Story resource and the Building Faith resource website. Talasha is also the author of Lent at Home and Advent at Home, downloadable worship guides for families published by Mennonite Education Agency and Agency of MCUSA. All right, Talasha, welcome.
Thank you.
You're a pretty busy person. You got a lot on your plate, I see.
Yeah, I do.
A lot of writing.
Yes, there is a lot of writing.
Okay. And those are good resources, though. Those are great resources. So I hope people have an opportunity to check out the resources that I mentioned. And they're available at the MEA website, and I think also at the Mennonite Church USA website. So check those things out. Now, my question for you, and you probably can relate to this because you have two children about around this age. So I know you give them plenty of advice, but if you were talking to yourself at 13 years old, what would you say to yourself?
Can I say two things?
Yeah.
Okay. I would tell myself to trust my intuition.
Okay.
That usually intuition is the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Gives you a nudge. And then to test it, to always test that with, especially adults that I trust, like
okay,
mentors. So that's one thing. And then also to lead with kindness.
Ooh.
I was a kid who naturally led with kindness, but sometimes would feel like that was backfiring on me.
Uh-huh.
And would be I don't know, that caused some angst for me. And I think I would tell myself, no, just lead with kindness. Like that's actually in the long run, that's what you really do want to do.
All right. And so now 6 years later, now that you're not 13 years old.
Right.
so did it work out? So did the kindness work out for you?
I mean, I'm 42, so jury's still out on my life, but okay. I think so. Like so far. Leading with kindness seems to be a really good plan.
Yeah, you know, I really resonate with that because I had to learn it the hard way. Talasha, I wasn't very kind. I wasn't mean. I wasn't mean, but I wasn't kind. And I'll say it this way. I was a pretty gifted kid, and I'm not saying that to brag or whatever. I mean, I was a pretty gifted kid, and a lot of things came naturally to me.
Yeah.
And for people that had to work at it and struggle a little bit, I wasn't as gracious as I should have been.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I needed to fix them, right? Whip them into shape.
Yeah.
So I learned some compassion. I learned the hard way. I won't get into that story because it's not about me. But I'm glad for people, thankful for people like you, because I feel like you are a genuinely kind person. I've sensed that since I've met you. But I have to work at empathy. It doesn't just come naturally to me. So I'm grateful for people like you, and I'm glad that you're sticking with it. So that's good advice.
Thanks.
All right. And I also like what you said about, like trust the spirit and you want to test it because it could be like a bad pizza that you ate or it could be the Holy Ghost. But if you test it with some trusted adults, a community or your community of faith, I think that's a great, that's really good advice. Good advice.
Thanks. I'll try to remember to give it to my children.
Okay. Okay. You're talking about children and families, and our topic with you today is building faith at home. And again, you have some wonderful resources that you contribute to our community of Mennonite Church USA. But what's the importance of nurturing faith at home?
Right. So to put it really simply, research tells us that parents and caregivers are the number one influence on a child's faith and or on a child's life in general. That also tracks with faith. And that lived and articulated faith at home is the number one indicator of someone continuing that journey with God in their adulthood. So just simply, it's important to practice faith at home because that's the lowest hanging fruit for where to do it.
Yeah.
I do believe like coming alongside others in a faith community is hugely important. So I'm not saying all of the weight of faith development goes to parents and caregivers, but that's kind of the number one influence. We've in really recent church history, we've professionalized faith development. And while a lot of those programs that we do can be really good tools for faith development, an hour a week, or let's be real, often an hour a month, with the way family schedules are, is really not enough to instill anything. So there's got to be something more.
Yeah.
But I think like even more, those are kind of the numbers reasons. Even more than that, I would say that nurturing faith at home, that intentional nurturing faith at home, has the potential to transform a family's life.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And you said it so nicely, because, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, the research, like what research says this? Because to me, it's almost a no-brainer, right? Like,
do we need the research?
Yeah, yeah. Like, why are we farming off our kids? And I'm saying this a little bit more harshly, and again, because I'm not naturally empathetic. But like, why do we think somebody else should be raising our kids? Or, you know, or why have we let this professional Sunday school and all these other professional clergy, why do we think the burden is on them to raise our kids? I mean, even if we send our kids to a private school, a Christian private school, which I did, I did that. But I always felt like, yeah, my kids, like what I do at home is going to be more important than any of these other things.
Yeah. Right. It seems, you're right. It seems like we should not need research to tell us these things. However, what we may know intuitively, research can back us up on, which is great.
Yeah.
And I do think it's more compelling for a family instead of hearing, well, you can't rely on the church to just do this for you. It's far more compelling for families to understand when we pray together, Jesus works in us.
Okay.
You know, that our lives get reordered and transformed when we are being intentional about faith together in the household.
In the household. Yeah, I love it. And you said that so eloquently. So yeah, so thank you for that. That's why they didn't just let me do this podcast by myself. They know we need other voices so that people could hear it in a better way. But it is so important. Yeah, I think about family. I think about even my own kids. As I was a youth pastor for a number of years. I have two kids of my own who are adults now who still like us, which I'm amazed that they still like us. And they have a level of faith. And sometimes I'm amazed, Talasha, because, I mean, we were intentional about what we did with our kids, right? We were intentional about these things. But I'm amazed. I feel like my kids are beyond where I was, especially at their age. I feel like they did a really good job. I guess we did a good job, my wife and I. But I see the difference that it makes in my own kids' lives. That is surprising to me. But then I also reflect on my time as a youth pastor. I always felt like the kids that had a really good family who were really intentional about faith formation were my best kids, right? In the youth group, it's best as far as the ones that were committed, that were serious, that like learned the most. And I said, man, these kids really don't even need me. But it's that partnership, I think, that really enhances what happens in our faith formation. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Right. I mean, I don't want to say, because I don't believe that if parent and caregiver, there aren't parents and caregivers who are helping instill faith in children, then it just won't happen. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's hope. There's mm-hmm. hope for everybody.
Okay, yeah.
I often think that in a church, a lot of our job is to be on the lookout for those who don't have
Ooh, okay.
that at home. And then that's where the adoption comes in. And I don't mean formal okay. adoption. I mean,
Yeah.
So that's when we say, oh, this kid needs me to come alongside them mm-hmm. in a different way. Or like, let's have this older couple that doesn't have any grandchildren in the area
okay. yeah.
and connected with this young family that is feeling really alone.
Yeah.
So the support and the coming alongside happens. And I think we are particularly on the lookout as clergy, uh-huh. as church workers, as church family members,
uh-huh.
for those that don't have that support happening at home.
Yeah. Or they don't have the traditional home structure. I mean, a couple of times here, you've said caregivers instead of parents, because in this day and age, families come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. Absolutely. And for some kids, like you said, the church could actually be home for them, and could provide a sense of stability. My wife is a teacher. She teaches first grade, and she comes and tells me stories about the families, and you just would be amazed about the instability that it's in some kids' home. So I think us being intentionally with our own, you know, flesh and blood is one thing, but also, like you said, adopting other people into our circle of influence can have some significant and long-term effects on these kids. And so I think the other thing that complicates how we do ministry or building faith at home is this, the computer, the digital world, online social media. And maybe even I'll add a piece of that is also with some of these analog things, you know, club soccer, club baseball, and all these other things.
Youth sports complex.
Yeah. So how do we help families prioritize faith formation?
If I had a great answer for that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and
also I'd be very famous.
Yeah.
If I had an answer for that. I don't, but I think there's some places to start.
Okay.
One thing that I've observed is that the younger the children are in a family, when we start working on some of these things,
yeah.
the easier it is to form patterns.
Mm, mm.
So, for example, I'll drag my poor children into this.
Okay.
When they were infants,
yeah,
we started saying a blessing for them every night. It's
okay.
a very simple little faith practice.
Yeah.
It was so easy to tuck my 2-year-old
mm-hmm.
son into his little bassinet and mm-hmm. say a blessing over him.
Yeah.
And that has grown with him. So my oldest child is 14
mm-hmm.
and not every single night, but quite a few nights, I still give him a blessing before he goes to bed.
Okay. All right.
Now it would have been really hard to just come in cold to my 14-year-old and be like, hey, I'm going to give you a blessing before you go to bed.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have looked at me like I was nuts.
So what is this woman doing?
Right. So some of those practices are easier to start
mm-hmm.
when a child is really young.
Yeah.
And those practices help to form our lives. They help us to prioritize yeah. our lives.
Yeah.
I would say, so yeah, start young if possible. Another thing that families kind of have to do is simply make the decision that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually we value our child learning about God and following God, being curious about
mm-hmm.
the divine.
Yeah.
We value that more than we value our child being a good soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. that is a weirdly hard decision to make.
Yeah. Can I be honest about the soccer thing?
Yeah.
They're probably not that good at soccer anyway. I know you want them to be. You want them to be the next late great athlete, but they're probably not. So realistically, you have a better chance of making them a good human being than a good soccer player. That's the realistic part of me. But I understand. I've been there as a parent, right? I wanted my son to go to the Olympics in track. I wanted my daughter to be the Olympian in gymnastics. Now they're just really good people, and they don't do any of those things. But I get it.
And that doesn't mean I'm saying we are not going to do any of these other things, right?
Like, yeah.
You can do lots of things.
Yes.
It's just about where you're centering your life.
Yeah.
Well, making that decision.
Yeah. Well, let me say something nice, because you had some nice, I'm going to say something nice now. Because if you don't start early, you can still make an impact on your kids' lives. Because we all mature as we're having kids. You know, you have 14 years of extra life and wisdom by the time your kid is 14. And if you have to start then, like you said, make the decision, start then. It may be a little bit more challenging. The kid is really going to see, hey, are you serious? But that consistency will pay off no matter when you start it.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Oh, yeah. Look. Just like anything else, like, you're never out of hope, right?
Yeah. See, I see a hope. See, I can be nice, right? I really work at it to be more empathetic. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you said I'm a theater director, and in improvisation, one of the guidelines is start anywhere. Yeah. There's often an easy way and a hard way, but there's seldom a wrong way and a right way.
Oh, I love that.
Start with what's in front of you.
Yes. Start with what's in front of you. Here. I love that. That's so great. And I mean, we're talking about families. You know, my experience, my mother was my first Sunday school teacher. And I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I've stayed in church. My brother is also, he's a pastor. He's a Presbyterian pastor. I wound up in ministry. So I would have to say that my mother had a big impact on us. I remember as a kindergarten student, you know, mixing up the Kool-Aid and making the snacks and holding them in the car so they wouldn't spill on the way to church. And I'm sure that had an impact on me to this day. So, yeah, start where you are. Start with the resources that you have, and I think it'll make a big difference.
And I mean, along those lines, with starting with what you have, start with what you're already doing and what already is there. Like, everyone goes to bed.
Okay.
So start with a bedtime ritual.
Oh yeah.
Everyone has to eat.
Yes.
So prioritize a mealtime together.
Yes.
And be intentional with what you do during that time. Everyone leaves the house for the day. Mm-hmm. So, like, I know a family that does family huddle at the beginning of the day. They huddle and they pray together. Little things like if you hear an emergency siren, mm-hmm. say a quick prayer for the people who need help. Oh. You know, I mean, just little cued things throughout the day. I think, like, starting with what's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, because we don't have to be, you don't have to be intimidated as a parent if you're not a pastor or anything like that. Just, yeah, I mean, you can pray at, I mean, we prayed at meals, and we always had intentional time with meals with this iteration of my family. Yeah. Like you said, I think my brother does the thing when they leave the house. They say a little prayer before everybody leaves the house. I don't do it, but I mean, but I'm saying you can do different things. Find things that you're comfortable with. And the bedtime thing. Yeah, you don't have to do all of them. I mean, you can, but you don't have to. So, I mean, I love that. I think that's good, creating some of those rituals. And I think they stick with kids, right? Kids remember this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As they get older.
And actually... I mean, some of creating faith at home practices is like mm-hmm. embracing the weird. And one of the things that I think can be like the most transformative practice for a family is practicing Sabbath.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that does not have to be on Sunday. Like, we are a pastor family.
Yeah.
I work a lot on Sundays.
Yeah.
And everyone in my household contributes to that work on Sundays. And so Sunday is really not our Sabbath day. We do Saturday night.
Oh, that's good.
And setting aside some time and letting it kind of reorder our lives
mm-hmm.
has been super important.
Yeah. The other thing I've thought about is when we were talking about the challenges of the digital world, you can actually even incorporate some digital things like just text your kid a scripture or something. That could be a thing that you do. Text them a prayer. That's easy, and everybody has their devices. So, I mean, that's an easy thing to do.
And then also take some time off of it. Like, our Sabbaths are technology free.
Oh, really? So you don't do the texting, social media, and all that stuff during the Sabbath
time? Not on Sabbath.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, using it well.
Yeah.
When we have it, and then also taking some breaks from it to practice that reliance on God and other relationships and the world around us.
And so how have your kids received that, the technology Sabbath?
We've been like pretty strict on technology their whole lives, so they've never even questioned it.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
They just, I mean, if anything, they kind of like it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've actually heard that more and more. So, I'm, you know, my kids are, you know, Gen Z people. And I don't know what your kids, I don't even know if they've named that Generation Next Alpha or something. I think they have called Generation Alpha. But it's interesting is that I think moving from the millennial generation where, you know, they were the first kind of digital native. Now I'm like really nerding out on this stuff, right? The digital natives and technology was kind of all consuming. To this Generation Z, they're not as engaged in, as millennials were. It's kind of interesting to see my kids, you know, they've kind of disconnected and pared down some of the social integration. So I think that, maybe this your kids in this new Gen Alpha, whatever, maybe that is a good thing. I've heard more and more places like camps saying, hey, we're going to unplug when you come to camp, leave your cell phone and all that stuff, put it in this box. So I think that's a really good, healthy practice for mental well-being and spiritual well-being. Yeah. So do you have, so you produce some resources. What can churches do to assist families with this?
Well, we've talked about coming alongside and kind of adoption. And I think that's huge. When we know that we're not alone, that's just so helpful. During the pandemic, we had all of these families at our church that had been so gung-ho on building faith at home.
Yeah.
And then after about 2 months of pandemic, they felt so lonely and so hung out to dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think any of us had realized how much we were feeling the support of our church family. When we were together. So coming alongside, helping families know they're not alone, training.
Okay.
Training people. So
like training families.
Yeah. Like train the parents.
Okay. All right.
We have resources. So like there's Building Faith, which you mentioned. This is a website that is from Mennonite Early Childhood Network.
Okay.
And it's a monthly resource. You just sign up and you get an email every month and it's free.
Oh, wow.
And it's also really adaptable. So you can take what comes like from the website, or you can go on the website and get an old one that really works with whatever subject matter you're wanting to cover. And then you can bring it and use it to train parents.
Oh, yeah. So
maybe it's on like praying with children. Well, you can go through it together. You can do some practices and ideas for things to take home to pray with children. Helping parents feel a little more confident in their own ability to read the Bible.
Oh, that's
amazing. How many people simply don't crack open the Bible with their kids because they're afraid that they won't be able to answer questions?
Hmm.
And so first of all, like showing parents, it's okay, like you really can read it. And secondly, it's okay to not know, like embrace the I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great, actually. When my kids ask a question that we seminary trained parents don't know the answer to, we're like, well done. Way to read it. Way to ask questions. We've also done a family retreat at our church.
Ooh, okay. Tell me more about that, about the family retreat.
Sure. We went away for a night. And I had just planned these really focused times around meals. So we worked on some mealtime practices.
Yeah.
And then we had family time.
Okay.
Between the meals. We had a lot of little kids that needed naps and things like that.
Okay.
And we didn't have like any programming.
Yeah. For
there was nothing that parents could drop their kids off at. It was like, yes. Go be the parents.
Yes.
And go walk the trails of Amigo together. And here are some like creative ways to explore the Bible together. And so I had some stations set up. And ooh. Some people used those, but most people just like played with their kids and walked trails and followed their children's curiosity and had child-guided time.
Oh, wow.
And I have been amazed at how many parents still, I mean, this is years ago, how many of them still refer back to that as pivotal for their family life.
Because man, now you have my brain working. You know, my brain is working. I really like that idea. Like, because, you know, you have family night at the church. And what is it? I mean, for most churches, it's, oh, we're going to drop our kids off and they're going to go to the nursery or they're going to go to childcare. We're going to do something else. But not having a lot of programming and then having kind of, like you said, like in meals or some scheduled times or guides for parents. I mean, you give me some good ideas. I think we may have to incorporate that into some of the things we do when we have intergenerational gatherings with Mennonite Church USA. But I mean, I love that idea. And if you are watching this, that's a perfect idea. I want you to think about, this is my challenge. This is the first challenge because it's so good, Talasha. I challenge you all that's watching this to think about some of these ideas. We'll have a list of resources in the description for this, but take some of these ideas and help your parents. You're not replacing the parents, but you're walking alongside the parents. You're not doing everything, but I think this is great to have a family night or have a family retreat where they come to church and the church is there just to walk alongside the parents and give them guidance in whatever kind of activity that you plan. So that's an excellent idea.
And I'll say a lot of the training that we do is during Sunday school time. Mm-hmm. So the children are in Sunday school and we do have just the parents.
Yeah.
And that's great. That is super helpful. But what was so wonderful about that retreat and about some of the other, like we've done some kind of one evening sorts of things here and there throughout the years. When we are saying, okay, here's the thing. Now do it as a family or do it as a table group, which is maybe the family plus a couple of older adults from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a different thing that happens.
Yeah.
So some training with parents when the kids are doing something else, but then also just that family time is a pretty remarkable thing. And if anyone wants to see what we did for our family retreat, I've got it as a big old packet because I wrote it up for an assignment for a class. So it's like very thorough.
Okay.
I'm happy to give that to people.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can connect that to the description. Maybe it can be a download for people that are watching this. I'll make a note and, we'll make sure that you have access to the information. Oh, thank you. I mean, that's great. I mean, thank you so much for that. And I mean, you're giving me all kinds of ideas now. Cause I'm also thinking again, if we're thinking about extended family, you know, I go visit churches and I hear older members saying, oh, well, you know, I'm old now. And I don't really have much to contribute. Yes, you do. You can go to this family night and you could be a surrogate grandparent or, you know, I mean, you have some wisdom, you have some things that you can share and help these young parents, these young kids make that connection. I think I can think of so many possibilities where we can help people strengthen what they're doing at home.
And a lot of the people who are in kind of my age group are craving relationships for their family with older adults.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
That is a huge felt need.
Yeah.
So that is a gift that older adults at our church can give us to, when something says intergenerational at church, don't consider it code for little kids. Like it really means intergenerational. Okay. Please come and walk alongside us. Yeah. That's a big gift. And I would say also for others in the church, another way to support families is to always lead with curiosity instead of judgment. So I know there are some in my age group who, you know, my church, but other ones too, who've heard from others in the congregation. Well, when my kids were your kids' age, I brought them to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Or, well, I was working too, but I still managed to teach Sunday school.
Ooh.
And I get it.
Yeah.
That's nice that you could do that, but also our context truly has changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't get all of the decisions that my peers make. Sometimes, right. Sometimes I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But leading with judgment will help no one.
Yeah.
So instead, I think a little bit of just saying, okay, I don't understand it, but I have to trust that the context is different and I've got to be gracious.
Right. I think that's a good word too for churches. That's how we can help facilitate that. So I know I could probably be a little judgy because I was thinking like, man, I did youth ministry. I had two kids. We were at everything. And, you know, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this next generation of folk? That's good advice, right?
We all judge. I mean, my 11-year-old was like, why can't people get to church on time? My family's here over an hour early. And I'm like, yeah, because it's our jobs. You have a different context. It's just it's different for different people. Respect that.
Yeah. And I think too, I think other thing that we can think about as leaders in the church is, and in our homes, is that kids pick up on a lot of stuff. And if we're judgmental and things like that, our kids pick that up and say, you know, these people at church and, you know, yeah, they can get a little sassy. So we need to be careful of what we model in the home. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's one other thing that we've been starting lately in our context.
Yeah.
We've noticed a lot of our really engaged parents are now starting to have kids that are youth age, like middle high school. Our really engaged group of parents used to be have younger kids. And now like those kids are getting a little older and these parents are still really engaged.
Yeah.
And we started calling ourselves a cohort.
Okay. Okay.
Just a group of parents that are saying, okay, we can still be doing this thing intentionally.
Yeah.
We don't have the same control over our children's lives as we did when they were 4 years old.
Right.
But we can still be parenting intentionally, caregiving intentionally. And it is a lot easier to do this when we're doing it in community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so having some parent cohorts, especially for those parents of older children, I think can be really helpful.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. And my kids are 26 and 23 and it's still some work, right? I thought I was done with them. But they still
never
need
done.
Stuff. You're never done. I thought like, hey, they're 18 and they're going to be doing their own thing. I'm still really involved. But part of that too is involved in a good way, but is because, of the faith foundation that we set up with them. And it's just such a blessing. I mean, this is one of the things so as an older parent, I say, hey, you know, it's such a blessing. It's hard now. You're frustrated now. You're tired now. But if you put in this work and then as your kids get older, you can see the fruits of that at every phase of their life. And it's just amazing to see how God shows up, how their faith shows up in their lives. So.
And I think that's a good word. Like put the time in.
Put it in.
I mean, it is so exhausting when our kids are little to be putting all of that time and energy in. And there were times when I was like, I just want to be a parent who doesn't care about all of this.
Right, right, right.
But it does pay off. We keep saying, it's not hopeless. If you didn't start when they were young, it's not hopeless. But putting time in when the kids are young or for churches, putting time in with parents and caregivers.
Yeah.
When their kids are young and maybe taking some of the time and focus and resources that we usually put into like children's programming and like backing that off a little, not saying do away with it, but back that off a little bit to be able to put some into training parents, educating parents, building parents' confidence, equipping and resourcing.
I love that.
That can be well worth it.
I love that. It's so great, Talasha. Just thank you so much for what you've shared. I think you've given us some really practical tools and resources that we can utilize and implement right away in our context. So I hope those that have joined us today really take these things to heart and check out the resources that I know we'll have in the description for this. But thank you so much for your time. I could probably talk to you another 30 minutes, but our time is coming to a close. For the latest news and events from Mennonite Church USA, please subscribe to Piecemeal, our weekly email newsletter at MennoniteUSA.org/piecemeal. We also ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the ongoing work of Mennonite Church USA's ministries at MennoniteUSA.org/give. That allows us to continue to produce great resources like Talasha talked about. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good talking with you.